You're listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 18, our hosts Mitch Glenn and Brad Wigman are interviewing the Los Angeles fireman Bill Cimentel, founder of the BBC Big Bass Zone, host of BBC TV channel, co-author of the award-winning book, The Big Bass Zone, inductee of the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Spro BBC lure designer, and president founder of the Big Bass Zone Junior Championship. Tackle Time features Pico sunglasses. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Wigman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil system. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wigman, along with my co-host, Mitch Glenn.
Hey, man, we have got a special guest today, the founder of the Big Bass Zone, Bill Cimentel.
How are you guys doing today?
Man, we are plenty warm here in Arkansas.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That means the fishing is starting to heat up too, I bet.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And actually, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed. I might be one of your biggest fans.
Oh, you know what? I've heard that so many times here, Brad. But I will say this. I've been following you. I'm a big fan of you. You've done so much in the industry, and I've seen what you've done through the years, promoting and helping other sponsors and the fishing and everything else. And you're versed. I've seen you with your photography and your how-tos and the product breakdowns. So I do see you out there throwing a lot of Spro baits. So I do. I appreciate it on my end. I've seen you catch monster stripers on a rack. So I know you are a guy that that knows what he's talking about and knows how to put words to actions in catching fish. So I appreciate it. You're a good asset to the industry.
There you go, Bill. I'll tell him a little bit about you. Bill's a veteran of the Los Angeles Fire Department. He's the founder of the Big Bass Zone, BBZ. He's the host of the BBZ TV channel. He's the co-author of the award-winning book, The Big Bass Zone. He produced a DVD on swim baits and big bass techniques. He was introduced into the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame in 2009, designed the full line of BBZ1 trout and shad swim baits, along with the frat fly jig. And he also is organizing the Big Bass Zone Junior Championship that is presented by Bassmaster. It's going to happen this year. How's that for a mouthful?
Wow.
Well, you know what? I forget the stuff I've done. You know,
yeah. Looking back, it's all added up, hasn't it?
Yeah, I try not to dwell on the stuff that I've accomplished in one aspect. I just I'm just one of those guys that likes to put my head down and keep moving forward and thinking of new things and ideas and trying to get back to the industry. And it's an impressive list, but to tell you the truth, I barely ever mention it, so it's kind of weird having Brad say all that stuff. Very humbling.
So tell us a little more about the Big Bass Zone. What's the theory behind this thing?
Well, years ago, starting fishing in California with Clearwater Reservoirs, and, I got hooked when I was like 8 and a half, catching a big bass. My dad said, it'll never happen again on a dead night crawler. And,
yeah.
And I was with those guys that were kids that just kind of pushed the envelope. You know, Dad would be out there and we'd be trolling in a little aluminum boat, and he'd be doing a little flatfish, you know, trying to catch a trout for dinner because we didn't have much. So, you know, if we caught food, you know, trout, we ate it.
Right.
And I would be the crazy kid on the side with lead lines and trolling these big striper lures and stuff. My dad would just shake his head and it's like, you know, you're not catching anything. And next thing you know, I catch an 8 or a 10 or a 12. And I caught on to something a long time ago that, you know, big fish are just not luck. You know, if you do target them and you think outside the box, it's a pretty accessible, you know, goal to catch a big fish from wherever you're at. California, it's 10 pounders. You go to Maine or Rhode Island or something like that, it might be a 4 or 5 pounder. That's a trophy to you. But, right. It's a consistent template you could put together. And then through the years of designing and watching fish and working with companies like Spro, with the lures and stuff, the concept was the big bass room. So a long time ago, I hooked up with a good friend, Mike Jones. And he was a writer for Bassmasters. And he came up and he goes, Bill, this is when I was fishing Bassmasters in like 2000. And he goes, Bill, he goes, I've heard all the stuff with the big bait guys and stuff. I don't believe it. And I took him on the water and showed him. And after that, him and George Kramer said, hey, you need to write a book. He says, one day you're going to die. And George Kramer pretty much laid it out there. He says, you're going to die one day. And he goes, you're going to leave a lot on the table that nobody will understand. So I sat down and wrote a book, The Big Bass Zone, and short. Everybody started calling it the BBZ, and then it went into the Spro product line, which is the BBZ that represents. Basically, it's a state of mind. It's a whole concept of not just breaking down the water, understanding tools and techniques, but basically look through the eyes of a fish and become the prey, and change things up a little bit and target bigger fish. Like I said, from a fat fly to a wrap 50 to an 8-inch swim bait, you know, they're all tools that work properly, can put big fish at the end of your line.
It's a state of mind.
It's a state of mind.
Yeah.
And you talk about non-traditional methods of fishing. What were you talking about when you were talking about that?
Well, you know what? It's very interesting. The more I sat and watched the bass growing up and fishing, there's a lot of techniques out there, and I always throw this out there when I did seminars and I talk to people. I said, okay, you know, how many tools are out there and how many techniques? And I always start off with the techniques, and it's surprisingly, when you hear it even from the big pros and stuff, they're like, oh, there's hundreds of techniques. I'm like, no, there's not. I looked at the thing, I go, there's like 5. Because you got mechanical and manual movement. You know, you reel something in from a crankbait to a buzzbait to, you know, a speed worm. I go, there's only so many mechanical ways to bring in a bait. Now, when you find a tool, if you can find a tool that is, you know, multi-purposed, like say a jig, that can work through the different water columns, different drop rate, speed, create a different illusion, you know, of some type of a realism bait that those fish are triggering. That whole thing started to come to play like, okay, I'm onto something that a lot of people are not seeing. They're doing, but they're not seeing. And then the non-traditional stuff, you know, which Brad is bringing up, is you have the baseline, but when I got into shadow theories and understanding to look through this, you know, the eyes of a bass and how they perceive their environment and how they hunt and kill. You know, I hated the whole concept of everybody saying, hey, you go hunt for big fish. And it sets people in the wrong frame of mind, basically. Because what happens is when that happens, you go, hey, you know, you're going to go hunt for big fish. Well, you're there. Well, we're not shooting fish. We're not hitting them with an arrow. You know, we're not just, we're trying to make that bass accomplish what it's doing. It's a killer. It's a predator. It's going to feed a certain way. And once I figured out, you know, that non-traditional way, which is truly the traditional way of how to target bigger fish, is follow them, follow their food source, figure out how they're going to eat, and then you throw some shadow theories in it on movement and how these fish move underwater, with the plane of ecliptic, summer solstice, winter solstice. You could follow the tides, the shadow tides, just as easy as some of these fish in a tidal environment like at the Delta.
Is that right? Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. And you could pinpoint not only where these fish are going to position during a certain time of day, depending on the shadow, but now the non-traditional is, and I know you guys probably hunt and stuff, you know, you've ever duck hunted, you sit in a blind, and early morning you're looking on the water, and you see a shadow of a bird go by the water. We're predators as well. We're no different right. than bass.
So would it be safe to say that bigger fish always eat bigger lures?
No. No, okay. See, that's the misconception. Now, you can isolate and separate a lot of the in-betweens, the smaller and mid-sized fish, to target bigger fish, but you can throw a 12-inch swim bait and still catch a one-pound bass. I've done it 1,000 times.
Okay.
And I've caught, I don't know, 18, 20 fish from 10 to 18 pounds on a crappie jig and a fat fly.
Huh.
But the concept, like in the shadow, and here's the weirdest thing, understanding the size of the bait and what that bait produces. So if it's clear water, and Brad can attest to this, I watch a lot of his stuff. If you're throwing an 8-inch swim bait, the BBZ, on the surface, and you have clear water, and you understand the shadows, I can literally fish that bait on the surface, mid-depth, and on the bottom. I can throw a shadow 20 feet deep with that swim bait and have fish come out, eat the shadow on the bottom of the ground, go, hey, the gig's up, they turn around, they look up, and they go up and they attack the bait. So those non-traditional ways of understanding the, you know, cause and effect of body placement, boat placement, lure placement, and shadows, all that stuff increases. And when you understand that, bigger baits, they do bigger shadows. They have bigger vibration. They do more displacement. There's so many other factors that increases your odds of getting the big fish to see, be curious, commit, you know, in right. an attack. But then in that, on the flip side, understanding the suspended animation of a fat fly underneath the bobber, that the shadow effect is not as much in critical in that part, except understanding the top, middle, bottom, and where do you place that bait, that tool, into a funnel to target those bigger fish to commit. So,
you're saying that fish has its own kill zone.
Oh, absolutely. And I can prove it to you. I mean, it's just like
boxing. Well, I believe you. If you've caught an 18-pound bass now, I mean, I've got to listen to that. What is the biggest bass you've caught?
Oh my gosh, I think it was like 1975.
Holy smokes. I caught a stringer that big once. A long time ago, though.
Marty Wall, he was a fish and game guy. That was a Lower Lake deck, I think it was 96. And, you know, I stopped camp. Literally, I've caught 500 over 10 and probably, you know, 50 to 75 over the 13-pound mark. But what happened is years ago, people started throwing those numbers out there like it was nothing. Like that made a difference. That separated them, that say, hey, I caught these big fish. They try to put a big feather in the hat. And long time ago, I told Mike Jones when we did the book in 2005, I stopped counting. I stopped making that a point where, you know, I go out there and every time I was like, oh, I caught the thing. When people ask, I'll mention it, and I'll say, yeah, you know, this is what I've done. But what that takes away from the industry and the youth and everything else is it puts a benchmark on it that if you don't catch, and I bet you Brad will agree with me on this, if you don't catch a 10-pounder, you know, that's not a true trophy. The half the U.S., I mean, an 8-pounder will be a trophy.
Right.
So if they can't hit that magical 10-pound mark, it feels like it's they've lost that one little thing where you go to sleep and you dream about catching big fish. You know, that the whole concept, like Bassmaster, big fish, big stage, big dreams.
Right.
That's when we go to bed dreaming about that one thump. I don't go to bed dreaming about catching 101-pounders.
Right.
I go dreaming where I throw out something, I feel a kick and I set and I almost rips my arm off my body. And then I kind of like, you hold your breath from hook set until you get the fish in the net. And then you just kind of with the jaw dropped. Now, for an angler, like I said, back east or up north, that could be a 5 to 7 pounder now.
Yep.
That's a trophy.
Right.
So that's why I kind of stopped, you know, mentioning the size of it, because it has to be relative of your skill set. Where's your baseline? If you've caught 4 pounders, a 5 pounder is a trophy. That's your personal best. And you build up to, you know, you set a goal to never just accept, you know, what you have. You always go out there and strive for that bigger fish, but it's going to change depending on what state you're in.
That's exactly right. And I'm in a different situation. When I go out, I don't want to actually probably catch a bigger fish. I want to go out with different people. So because of my job and being a writer and photographer, working in the industry, I get to fish with some of the best anglers in the world.
Yeah, you are a lucky dog.
And see how they approach fishing. And so sometimes it's not, you know, a specific size that they're looking for. It's actually finding the fish. Don't you think finding the fish is like the biggest reward? You go out there, you don't know where they are, you haven't been on the water for a month, or you haven't ever fished that lake, and you go out and it's a new lake. Like if you were to come to Beaver Lake and they said, okay, here you go, you got 2 days to go find fish, and you go find fish and you find good quality fish. Wouldn't that be rewarding?
It's all, and that's the beauty of bass fishing. And depending on what you like, there's no set table. Like, you know, you have to do this, and this to be an accomplished angler or enjoy the sport of what we do. And you hit it on the head, you know, Brad. There's different aspects. First of all, for your own skill set and what you're doing. Some anglers, man, I have a hard time. I always have. Like going to a place and finding fish, like, oh, there they are. So I have to work harder to break down the water better to find like winning fish when I fish my tournaments. Some anglers, man, they could just, man, it's like a freaking water wand. I don't know what they do. They get in there, they go, I'm going to go this way. And then there's the fish. And I just sit there and I crack up. And I like those lucky sons of, you know what? When you compete, like in the tournaments when I fish around here and home and everything else, I've done quite well a lot of places I've gone, is there's always that fine line of, yes, you can find fish, and that's an unbelievable trait. That's really good. Can you find the bigger fish? Can you fish in a tournament that is a time tournament where you catch the biggest bag of fish within 8 hours? You know, can you do that for 3 days? There's all these different layers, and I think that's what makes fishing such a dynamic, incredible sport, is anybody can enjoy it on any skill set or level, depending on the age and what they want to accomplish, from a weekend angler to a touring pro. For me, oh, yeah, I did that, and I'm not sure if you went on. I mean, I did that once at, like, I think it was Table Rock. Spro had a writer's conference. And I showed up and never been on the lake before and went out there the first day and I brought swim baits. I brought the 6-inch swim bait, Spro. And everybody was like, yeah, you're not going to catch anything. And I ended up catching 6-pound, you know, spotted bass. And everybody was like sitting there going, well, how the heck did you do that? And that's where it's like in the book. I kept things simple for understanding like the shadows is one thing, but breaking down topography and understanding movement, not just by the fish themselves, but what bait do and how bait moves through the water column. That's like in the book. It's points, ridge, creek channels, humps, and flaps. If you have a basic idea of just being able to look at a map,
right,
and understand topography, it's like in the fire department. I got to understand my ridges and my chutes and my flaps and areas where a fire can run uphill, my safe zones and everything else. It's a weird combination, but some of these areas where you get the fastest moving fire and how they do it, the chutes are the same places, which is like a freeway off-ramp for big bass to come up and feed.
Right.
So there's so many different layers in life that you could kind of lay into your own book of fishing. But if you keep the basics down, your templates, your baseline of structure and cover, what's underwater, how the fish move through it, how they're going to compress bait fish, how they're going to eat. You know, there's a couple players underwater. You got the fish, top, middle, bottom of the water column, structure and cover, and you got the forage. There's only a handful. If you understand the basics between them, it's going to be like rat season.
This is almost a location, location, location thing here, isn't it?
Well, I did a location, but that's funny you brought this up. I wrote an article a very long time ago. I'm going to say it. What is location, location, location? If I tell you, if I ask you that, then you bring up a really good part. Like, I've heard that from every bass pro out there, that in fishing, it's always location, 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 right? What is it? What is the location? Can you guys explain it? Can you break down location, location, location?
Breeding, feeding, and what else? I didn't know a fish thought of anything other than breeding and feeding.
Well, you got location, location. So, like, say the first location, it's the starting point.
Right.
So I broke down the LLLs in, like, a format. It's the structure and cover of the body. It's the points, humps, ridges, creek channels, and flats, right?
Right.
Five basic areas to work from. On top of that, you put wood, rock, grass, trees, brush, cover.
Exactly.
That's your...
Right.
That's part one of your locations. The second L, this is the time you have to use your eyeballs. It's like when you use your grass, your Lowrances, right, or something. You got to understand the top, middle, bottom of the water column. Each one of those water columns, depending on the structure and covers, where those fish are going to be, right?
Okay.
And then E1 is the third L, is basically, this is where you put it all together. It's the final location where you make your stand, and there's a couple parts of it. Where do you put yourself? It's either on a kayak, boat, float tube, or shore. Where do you put your tool? How do you put your lure in the water in the top, middle, bottom, and bring it into a funnel, which is the kill zone? How do you create that retrieve to make a commitment zone for a fish can do what he wants to do, is to basically ambush and kill his food? So that's the, like, I break down, that's the LLL. And the crazy part is, now you go, well, who are the players? There's always a couple players. There's, like, usually four players. The first player is always what you're going after. Bass, trout, striper, catfish. Brad did that when he caught the big striper on the Spro rat.
Yep.
I see him do it with his white bass. And there's the first player is what you're trying to pursue, or what do you want to eat you. The second player is the lure you're using. What are you trying to create the illusion of where player one wants to eat it? Are they going to eat sculpins today? Are they going to eat crawdads, trout, blueback herring? You got to know that second player. The third player is your tool. What lure that you could work through your water column, your top, middle, bottom, you know, the structure, the flipping, pitching trees. There's going to be a tool that can fish through the top, middle, bottom of your water column the most proficient way. So part one, the fish, the bait fish look real. And then you have a lure that basically creates the illusion of realism. And then... Excuse me. The last player is your platform. Like, where are you standing to make all of this happen? What angle are you going to stand to bring it uphill or come into that shadow of that funnel?
Very.
Or bring it up a tree.
Yep.
So I literally sat down years ago and I said, yeah, I hear LLL, but you can say LLL for me all day long. And I'm like, yeah. No, I'm telling you what the LL is. There's four players, and each one of those players have an LLL. The fish has an LLL, the bait fish, where you stand and how you bring your lure to it.
Yep. That's very interesting.
And that's you know, if someone wants to find out more, they can go to your website, the BBZ.com. And they can find out all kinds of fishing information there. What they're also going to find is something that you're doing now is the Big Bass Zone Junior Championship. And can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Years ago, there was a tournament out there by Bassin, And it was a big fish tournament. And I mean, this went right up my alley back in from 96 to 2001. And you go out there and you get to fish for 8 months. And if you catch the biggest fish of your state, you get to go to a championship and have a shot at winning first place, have a shot to winning a ton of prizes and a boat. I think it was a boat and $70,000 or something. And that was way back in the day. And I won California for 96, 2000, 2001. The last year in 2001 at Table Rock, I told a couple of my buddies, I said, if I ever got a chance, I want to try to do this for the kids. But it was just a cool thing. And this was pre, like, you know, bass clubs, you know, like we're seeing now. So fast forward last year, early of last year, year before in December, I said, hey, I think it's time. We've got about 60,000 high school anglers that are fishing in the club between BASS, FLW, and TPF. And it's the right thing to do. But the thing that was missing is out of those 60,000 kids in that, say, 13 to 17 age range, do you guys know how many kids in that same age range actually go out and fish?
No.
There's 4.2 million.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And the thing that I had a hard time at is I grew up, I didn't have a fancy boat. I didn't have a fancy boat until I got in the fire department. I grew up fishing offshore, kayak, a 9-foot Sea Eagle blow-up boat, my dad's 14-foot aluminum, then I had a 14-foot Terry. So a lot of the industry at the time, and even to the day, they bypassed the inner city kids and these younger anglers because financially their parents might not be able to afford a really big boat.
Right.
They can't play a game. So I wanted to open up a door that for $25 that they can go fish anytime, anywhere. And this helps the anglers that are in the clubs, you know, that are already out there pre-fishing and doing their thing. It gives them a second chance at something really huge. But it also opens up the door for all these grassroots anglers, you know, these kids from 13 to 19 that would probably never have an opportunity to fish a national tournament for $25 to enter and win huge prizes. So last year I put it together and crazy enough, you know, Bassmaster got on board. They presented it. Billy Chapman from Anglers Inc. International had a new place up and tied up. And we did the tournament up there, the finals. And it was incredible, guys. I had parents and kids come all the way across the U.S. I had 47 anglers from 44 states.
Wow.
Won their states in crazy stories from cricket coats from Florida. 50-year-old girl, Bill, I got to win. How do I do it? Cricket, you got to go catch the biggest fish in the state. And a week before the end of the tournament, they were looking around the U.S. last year because it was the first year it opened, and nobody registered a fish in Utah yet. And she flew out. Her mom flew her out at 15 years old from Florida to Utah.
Wow.
She got her guide, went out on Lake Powell and caught her keeper fish and won.
Oh, man. What a story.
Oh, it was great. And she went to the championship. She ended up taking fifth place.
Is that right?
Out of the entire. So, and the stories were just... it's just absolutely inspirational. Brandon Howard, Alabama, and I've done a lot, you know, in the last year, but he called him up and he won Alabama. And I said, hey, Brandon, you won, you get to come to the championship. And he said, Bill, financially, we're having a hard time with your family. And I said, I understand that. So I ended up calling Jordan Lee, Bassmaster Classic champion, and told him what was going on. Jordan bought his plane tickets to get to Idaho. He shows up. He ends up in, I think, 19th place. With a 2-pound fish or something, and he walked away with a $28,000 scholarship to Bethel University.
No kidding. Wow.
So we gave away $140,000 last year in scholarships to Bethel, a brand-new Basscat, $30,000 Basscat boat. We had trips to the Amazon, trips to El Salto from Billy Chapman and Anglers Inn, and prizes, which was unbelievable, because I kind of try to break down this barrier, and it's hard. There's a lot of companies, or there's a stagnant in the industry right now that you have to only wear one color or one hat or one sponsor to be able to really participate. and I wanted to try to do something different. Right. I asked the parents, I asked them, what do they need? And they go, we just need choices, and we want to have fun. So when they showed up last year, there was Minn Kota Ultrex on one side of the stage, and there was a Motor Guide on the other. We had Lowrance on one side and Hummingbird on the other.
Right.
We had Iowa and St. Croix. We had companies actually coming together for the youth, for the future of fishing, and giving these parents and kids an option to get not what they, you know, you just hand to them, but to make a choice and get what they need. So
I like that.
I did something crazy. I know Bassmaster James Hall looked at me and he's like, I don't know if that'll work. But after first place with the boat, I set all the kids up in line from second to 46th place. And they had 10 seconds to come up and grab their prize. So I had $250,000 and 47 prizes up on stage. And if they didn't get the prize in 10 seconds, they didn't get anything. And they all went up there, and it was completely different. And that's when you saw, like I said, anglers in 19th place walking away with $28,000 profit, because that's what they needed.
Right.
That's what they wanted. So fast forward to this year, it's huge. I have over probably $280,000 already in prizes for Saturday. Friday sponsorships, we got, you know, Bass Cat Life Fest. St. Croix jumped on board to give rods to all the kids. If they catch the winning fish in a St. Croix, it's another $1,000 cash. Line Hunters on board with rings. Rugged Shark shoes they're going to give shoes to all the kids Friday night to wear. It goes on and on. And then I went one more above and beyond. Is I asked the sponsors if they'd like to help the parents for the first time. And guys, I'll tell you one thing I noticed, and I don't know if you guys have kids or no parents with kids. A lot of them out there do clubs. We're talking, you know, soccer, gymnastics, volleyball, even bass fishing.
Right.
And the parents get hit with the entire bill. You know, there's nothing that comes back to help the parents. So I told the parents I was going to do everything in my power this year to be the first one to actually pay the parents. So
awesome.
I have U.S. Napa, and I have, you guys would be really impressed. I only need like 10 more states, maybe 13 more states, but $2,000, a sponsor can sponsor a state in the U.S. Their logo goes on it. The money goes to a 501c3, which is Jim Grassi's Let's Go Fishing production. He's been around for 40 years. And the money's held there. No money comes back to myself or the organization. Everything is for the parents in the tournament. And when the angler from that state, so like fishing tackle retailer Ken Duke, they picked up Arizona. So when Arizona shows up in Idaho, there's going to be a check for $1,200 cash for the parents for a train, plane, or automobile to help them get there.
Right.
Two-night stay at La Quinta is already paid for. All their food's paid for the Friday night dinner and all the meal Saturday.
Wow.
So we have
that's
like
a dream come true, man.
Oh yeah, Rugged Shark took Texas. We got Fish and Tackle for Arizona. We got the Chief of Police for Mammoth for California. He donated. He's taking care of California. We got Customs Trucks for South Dakota. Seth Logging from Idaho picked up North Dakota. St. Croix for Wisconsin. McKinney's, Trey McKinney's mom. They have a Western store in Illinois. Boom. You know, Illinois is taken care of. Bass Cat from Arkansas. Hummingbird from Alabama. Mossy Oak from Mississippi. Minn Kota for Minnesota. Bass Nation for Michigan. Like I said, it goes on and on and on. We're still missing a few states. We need Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico. And that covers up pretty much the entire western side. And then I have just a handful from Virginia. And then Northeast, which is like Maine, Vermont, and Rhode Island. But all these kids, it's going to be so cool when the kids and the parents show up. There's going to be, I mean, each state winner will show up probably getting, I don't know, close to $2,000 just for winning their states. And then there's another $250,000 in prizes the next day for the tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome event. And if they want to check out more about the event, where would they go, Bill?
So go to the BBZ World We just rebuilt the website again.
Okay.
Go to BBZ World. On that, you can watch the videos. They have the old last year's fishing show that I put on with the Linders, with Bill Linder. And you'll see all the kids, and you'll see the information, and you'll be see the state leaderboard. Crazy part about it, there's two places. So there's first place, so all the anglers are vying for that because that guarantees them a spot. If they don't go, if somebody doesn't go from the state for first place, I'll take second.
Uh-huh.
So these kids fighting for it. And then after all first place anglers confirm that they're going to go to the championship, in another hat, I'm going to put all the second place anglers in a hat. Bassmasters and Billy Chapman both get to do a draw. So that gives another shot for two more anglers in second place to make it for the championship. And right now, well, Power Pole just jumped on and put a power pole on the boat. So I bet your first place, it's up to probably 58,000 for first.
Wow.
Oh, I got so much on this guy. Joe Thomas for Ohio.
Right.
Joe Thomas, they picked up Ohio for Steel Room and the Outdoors.
Yep.
The winner this year has a shot to go down to Lake El Salto and film a TV show with Joe Thomas for Steel Room and the Outdoors.
Wow.
Like, I mean, this thing, if you know anglers, we still have a month and a half. If you know anglers anywhere across the U.S. that love to fish, try to go catch big fish, and have a shot at something that would literally change their lives, and it could be happening off a shore or a kayak, in addition to, like, a kid fishing a bass tournament tomorrow. I mean, there's nothing else out there that's giving this much back to any of the youth
right.
that I've seen for that type of price, and then paying the parents. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Make sure you check that out. Bill, I appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Very interesting, man. Enjoyed talking with you.
I talk too much, huh?
No, that's all right. A lot of great information, and hopefully we can get some of the anglers, the junior champion, the anglers competing in that to listen to it and, give them an update on what's happening. Once again, I appreciate it, Bill.
Thanks a bunch, man. Good things going on.
Yep, anything you guys need, just give me a holler. I'm always here for you.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Tackle Time this week. Let's talk about eyewear. You've got to protect those eyes from impact and from the sun. What you need is some UV protection, polarized to see down in the water, and something that when you don't catch that fish, that lure is not going to break and shatter it and put your eye out. So we've got a pair of sunglasses here at Pico. The Pico part's just to make them look cool. Everybody's got to look cool when they fish.
That's right.
These are some very, very good sunglasses that are made by Solarbap. They've got a little extra put into them. They got the little snuggy things put in for your nose and for your ears and everything. Can't hardly blow them off your head and your big rocket ship bass boats and everything. But if you do, they're less than $30, man. It's not like you blew a $250 pair of sunglasses off and watched them sink to the bottom.
There you go.
Good pair of sunglasses, $30 or less. Protect your eyes, see more fish.
And look cool while you're fishing.
And look cool, man.
That's right. So Bill Cimentel was on the show today. He's actually a Los Angeles fire department. You know, he's a fireman, but
yeah.
he actually has been in the fishing industry for a long time. BBC One TV channel, an author. I mean, he's done a DVD. He's done it all. He's even in the Hall of Fame. 2019, he was introduced in the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, and all kinds of great stuff. And he has this Big Bass Zone Junior Championship going on. There's so many sponsors that are part of that. So we appreciate that. Hey, thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review of our show.
Send us a request.
There you go. For Mitch and myself, keep your hooks sharp and lures in the water.